Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me from the screen the title of our sermon this morning? What an Understatement. And below it, if you can read it, is also the verse that our text, our sermon is based upon, from John 1, verse 43. Can you see the words? If you can, read with me. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. I encourage you to follow the sermon outline that's provided for you in your service folder as we consider our theme, What an Understatement. Understatement. When you look up this word in the dictionary, here is the definition you find. To represent as less. To state something less strongly than may be done. How often have we heard or maybe even spoke the words ourselves, what an understatement. When an idea could have been said much more forcefully, with much more emphasis. We've had a little rain around here this time of year, haven't we? That's an understatement. Between terrorist attacks, missing airplanes, and armed conflicts, it really makes a person wonder what is going on in our world today. That's an understatement. The cost of living, if you checked it recently, doesn't seem to be going down anytime soon. What an understatement. Once in a while, a person has to wonder what our government officials are thinking. That's an understatement. How many times have you heard this one? Things just aren't the same now as it was when I was young. That's an understatement. Or how about this one? Almighty God is sure good and patient with a sinner like me. That's an understatement. Understatement. That's what we find in today's gospel reading from John chapter 1, just verse 43. And the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. This verse immediately follows the account of John the Baptist first seeing Jesus and proclaiming, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus was preparing to leave the home of Mary and his earthly father Joseph and the carpentry shop. Jesus was just beginning his public 3-year ministry. His ministry that would climax at the cross. The ultimate reason Jesus came, the children said it for you this morning. The ultimate reason Jesus came, his crucifixion and his resurrection, are only made possible because of this single understated verse in Holy Scripture. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. The Bible passage tells us clearly Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. He had a choice. Have you ever thought of it in that regard? He had a choice. He didn't have to leave the house of Mary and his father Joseph and the comfort of that carpenter shop. He could have chosen a much easier and more pleasant life than one of suffering and crucifixion. My goodness, did you get it? That's an understatement. Now, the verses that follow this account show Jesus beginning his earthly ministry, performing his first miracle, water into wine at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. demonstrating his holy anger, driving out the money changers from the temple in Jerusalem. Patiently teaching our religious leader God's truth when he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. But hear me say this again. All of these acts of ministry and the ultimate reason Jesus came, his crucifixion and resurrection, are only made possible by the truth of this single understated verse in Scripture. The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Let's spend some time together this morning considering this single understated verse. Come with me this morning, won't you, to Joseph's carpentry shop, where Jesus worked alongside his earthly father Joseph until he was a young man of 30 years, a young man now with a big decision to make. He looked around. Can you imagine him looking around at the carpentry shop? He stood for just a moment in the refuge of that workshop that housed so many precious memories to him. He held a hammer in his hand. He ran his finger over the teeth of the saw. He stroked the wood of the workbench where he made his first implement, his first chair, his first tool with his father Joseph. He had come to the workshop one last time to say goodbye. It was time for him to leave. He knew it was his time to leave. The time set apart for him for all creation by his Father in heaven. So he came one last time to that carpenter shop. Don't you see him? Smelling the sawdust. Smelling the lumber. Life was peaceful here. Life was so safe and so secure. On that dirt floor right there, he had played as a young child while his father Joseph worked. And here on this table, Jesus was taught by Joseph how first to use a hammer. On this workbench right here, Jesus built his first chair. I wonder what Jesus thought about as he took one look around the home of his parents. Perhaps he listened and he heard voices fill the air. Hand me that piece of hardwood, Jesus. Good job on that chair, Jesus. Jesus, Joseph, come on into the house, said Mother Mary. It's time for supper. I wonder if Jesus hesitated. I wonder if his heart was torn. I wonder if he took a 6-inch nail from the carpenter shop and rolled it between his thumb and his forefinger, just imagining the pain such a nail or spike might cause as it ripped through flesh nailed to a cross. You see, it was in this carpenter shop that his human hands shaped and formed the wood that his own divine hands created. And it was here at this home that his body and his emotions matured, while he waited for just the right moment, while he waited for just the right day. And now, that day had arrived. It must have been difficult for our Lord Jesus to leave. Life as a carpenter wasn't bad. Business was good. Working with Joseph was pleasant. Having Mary nearby meant a warm and nurturing home life. In Nazareth, he was known only as Jesus, the son of Joseph. He was respected in his community and his synagogue. He was good working with his hands. With Joseph's guidance, he'd become a capable carpenter. He had friends. Children loved him. He could fill the air with contagious laughter with the telling of one of his wonderful stories. I wonder, would you wonder with me this morning? I wonder if Jesus ever wanted to say, I could build a good life here in Nazareth. I could settle down. I could have a wife. I could have a family. I wonder, because our dear Lord Jesus had already read the last chapter of his life. He knew that his feet that day stepped out of the carpenter's shop would not rest until they had been nailed to a Roman cross for crucifixion. You see, Jesus was facing a dilemma, a heavenly dilemma. The text tells us something maybe we've never considered. It says he had a choice. The text says the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. He could have stayed in the carpenter shop. He could have ignored the call to the cross, or at least postponed it. And if he had stayed there, who would have known? Who would have blamed him? Why? He could have postponed this whole death thing for centuries. He could have come back when Roman crosses were out of style. He could have tried anything, any way out. He could have pled with his Father in heaven for any path except for the one that led to Calvary. But his heart wouldn't let him. If there was hesitation on the part of his divine, of his human nature, let me say that again. If there was hesitation on the part of his human nature, it was overcome by the compassion of his divine nature. Remember, he was both true man and true God. His divine nature heard the voices, the painful cries of the sinful, the bitter pleas of the abandoned, the hopeless despair of those caught up in good works trying to save themselves. And his divine nature saw the faces. Can you see them? His divine nature saw the faces. Some weeping, some fearful, some searching, some guilty. From the face of Adam in the Garden of Eden to the face of that baby born right now, even as you hear these words, our Lord Jesus saw them all. And you can be sure of one thing. Among those voices that found their way into that carpenter shop in Nazareth was your voice. Your prayers uttered on a tear-stained pillow were heard before they were even spoken. Your confession of sin was heard before they even left your mouth. Your deepest questions about your future and your eternity were answered before they were even asked. And not only did he hear you, he saw your face. He saw your face in shame. That moment you'd sinned and let down someone you love and yourself. He saw your face in pain as you tried to face the onslaught of the devil and this evil world around you. He saw your face in despair as you wondered how a sinner like you could ever stand before a holy God on Judgment Day. My friends, in that carpenter shop, on that fateful day, Jesus saw that same face that looked at you in this morning's bathroom mirror. Yes, he saw you, and he saw your need. And it was enough to send him to the cross. It was enough to make him leave the comfort of the carpentry shop. And for his holy feet to begin the path that would take him to the cross, where there he would die to pay for your sins, for the sins of the world, and there to defeat for you the powers of sin and death and devil forever. He left the comfort of that carpenter shop for you. He left because of you. He laid his security down with the hammer. He hung his peaceful life on the nail on the wall with his carpenter's apron. He locked the door on his safe and secure family life, and he said goodbye to those who loved him and raised him. He could bear your sins more easily than he could bear the thought of your hopelessness. So he chose to leave. He chose to walk the path that led him to a cross and to an empty grave. John 1:43 tells us very simply, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. What an understatement. In the name of Jesus. Amen.